Hello and welcome to episode 28 of the Visual Storyteller podcast. It is the 28th of July, 2015. My name is Roger Overall. I am a visual storyteller. More about that in a second. But first of all, thank you so much for listening and thank you so much for the feedback that you've been giving me. It really means a lot. Now, today I'm going to ask you a question to begin with. And the question is, how much money do you think I make from cartoons? Well, I'll tell you, I make this much money from cartoons. That's right, nothing. Nothing at all. Yet it occurs to me, it's the one thing you see me doing every day, drawing a cartoon. If you follow this podcast or if you read the blog, that's what you see me doing every single day. And in fact, if you go back through my podcast, so in my blog feed, you'll see pretty much nothing else for a very, very long time. So it occurred to me that perhaps you don't really know what it is that I really do to earn money, because you've never maybe seen any of my commissioned photography and video work. As a result, you know, who would you ever, for instance, think of hiring me or recommending me to anybody who needed a photographer or who needed a filmmaker? You probably wouldn't, because you don't see any of that work. So who could blame you if you didn't think of me in that regard? But the crazy thing is, you listen to this podcast, you read the blog, maybe you do so every day. And of course, I'm an idiot. I'm an idiot for not at least explaining that I'm a photographer and not at least not pointing you in the direction of my work. RogerOverall.net, by the way. RogerOverall.net. And there's no D in Roger. So now, I know there's nothing worse than the creative who's constantly banging on about their work. See what I did, see what I did, see what I did, see what I did. So I'm going to leave it here. I'm not going to dwell on it, but it did occur to me that after 27 episodes, I've never really shown you, well, you can't show on a podcast, obviously, but I've never really discussed and I've never really pointed you in the direction of where you can find the work that I actually get paid for. And in a way, some people don't want that. They don't want to be bothered by, if you like, my professional side. And the same goes for you when you're connecting with people. Maybe they don't want to be bothered by your portfolio. At the same time, how do we show people what it is we do in a way that doesn't annoy them, in a way that they're accepting, in a way that they'd actually invite into their world? That's a tricky one, isn't it? I know for photographers, they can give tutorials, but tutorials really only appeal to other photographers. So how can you do something that appeals to your end client? The best example I can give is I interviewed a photographer in Chicago, and he was a business photographer, a commercial photographer, and he was launching a business podcast, and he was going to interview business leaders in Chicago. I thought that was genius, because he's going to go around Chicago interviewing business leaders. And it's a great introduction, isn't it? It's very easy to say to somebody, will you come on my podcast? I'd love to hear your business story. Please, can we have a conversation? And of course, you're making them look good. You're giving them publicity on the podcast. And at the same time, though, you're making that connection, in his case, as a photographer. And of course, eventually, not during the podcast, but in the course of his interaction with them before and afterwards, it's going to come up that he's a photographer and he'll be leaving his card behind. And of course, that way, he's introduced himself very nicely into that world. Very, very, very clever, I thought. So that's an example of how maybe we as creatives can connect with our target. That's a subtle hint, if there ever was one. I just let that play out. It's not far off, actually. I've got pretty much nothing else to say. In fact, maybe I should leave it there for today with that thought and that outro music. Thanks again for listening. Well, welcome to the hidden part of the podcast. Hey, listen, I'm going to talk to you about Rich Roll, who is a ultra athlete in the US. And his story is in his book that I'm reading at the moment, Find Ultra. And he went from an overweight LA entertainment lawyer, hellbound for a heart attack, and he turned himself around in his early 40s to become an ultra athlete, doing it on a diet of plants. He's a plant-powered athlete, as he calls himself. I went running today with something in the back of my mind that Rich was talking about in his book, and he was describing his first attempts at ultra and endurance sports completely failed. He failed the first, was it the first triathlon he did? And I think also the first marathon. Anyway, these were not pretty events for him. And what he found out was that he was training all wrong, completely wrong. And he found out that he was training too hard, which sounds bizarre, but let me explain what I mean by that. He was pushing his body during his training so hard that his body went out of its aerobic condition, which is basically, if you can run at a speed at which you can talk comfortably, that's kind of your aerobic condition. And you're in that space, you're burning fat is a very simplistic way of putting it. Now, if you speed up and you start exercising that you're out of breath, then you're in your anaerobic state and you're burning off, I think it's glycogen in your muscles. And that will last you about 90 minutes, give or take. But once it's done, it's done. You are spent. You are finished. You have nothing else to give. And if you're doing endurance sports, then that's pretty useless. There's no point training with that intensity, because what you want to be training is and conditioning is your body towards a state that it is in its aerobic condition, that it is burning fat, which you can do for quite a long time. So he and his coach worked out that he needed to pull right back on how fast he was running during his training to begin with. And he had to get himself into what they call zone one or zone two, effort, a level of effort. And this is, this zonal system is completely new to me. And I heard about it when I was following James Lawrence. And he was doing a lot of his training in zone two before he did his 50 triathlons in 50 days and 50 different US states. And it meant nothing to me, but reading Rich's book, I now kind of understand what it's about. And you need to condition yourself if you're going to do a marathon or a triathlon or an ultra marathon or an ultra triathlon. You need to condition your body so that it's in that aerobic state as much as possible. And you have to pair right back in terms of your speed during training, and eventually you do get faster. You do get faster in that state. But the mistake it seems that a lot of people make, and that I was making as well quite clearly, was that I was trying to push myself too hard in my runs. And I was looking at my times and I was getting frustrated as well. So I'm thinking, I'm not where I used to be 15 years ago. Well, you know, look, I've neglected my health for 15 years and I was 15 years younger and I'm a middle-aged man now and I'm overweight. So maybe there is a logic to not being fast as I was then. So today I took Rich's experience and applied it to myself. I had the best run. It was a really, really nice run. And I went slightly slower, it felt to me, than before. But actually, over the distance, and I didn't run quite as far as I normally would. I ran 5.5K today. I would normally run 7.5. But I'm just a little bit wary of that calf muscle injury. Now, the calf muscle didn't give me any trouble at all. And it seemed to be because I was almost running within myself, yet somehow still at a reasonable pace compared to my previous runs, but at a more steady pace. And there's a saying in Rich's book that his trainer gave him, which was, it's not necessarily the person who goes fastest who wins the triathlon. It's usually the person who doesn't lose any speed. And That seems quite interesting. I need to look into this more and into this zone system, this zonal system. And photographers listening will be giggling at the phrase zonal system, because it's a throwback to the darkroom days, and it has been reintroduced in certain circles in digital as well. But look, let's not go down that route. I told you I was a photographer, didn't I? Did I mention that? Have I mentioned before that I'm a photographer? So that's what I wanted to say today, that I was running within myself and it was a really great experience. That's all I'm going to say today. I'm going to leave it there. Thank you so much for listening. It means a ton to me. It means the world to me that you spend a little bit of time listening to me. By the way, if you've got any questions, do let me know. Happy to answer them. Take care of yourself. Bye.